This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بإذن الله تعالى إن شاء الله. Today I wanted to share with you some reflections from a powerful ayah that is in Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself to mankind. In this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that your Lord is one Lord. You see, Quraysh, they had 360 idols that they used to worship. They had them in the Kaaba and they used to worship them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to them the heavy and the powerful truth. And he says to them, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ, all of you, all of mankind, your Lord is one Lord. إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no Lord deserving to be worshipped but he subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this ayah has a reason for why it came down. And this is that Quraysh, once they decided to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they went to him and they asked him, Sif lana rabbak, Sif lana rabbak, describe your Lord to us. Who is he? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And alongside with this ayah, he revealed Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And these two surah did explain and they described to mankind who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he says, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ, your Lord. And you should stop and ponder over this, يعني, this attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. He ascribes himself to his creation. He says, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ, that your Lord, in other words, this is implying honor, that we are honored that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ, one Lord worthy of worship. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you can find in this ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ, your Lord is one Lord. And in Surah Al-Ikhlas, he says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, أَحَدٌ. Wahid and Ahad, what's the difference between the two? Wahid, as in this ayah, it means he's one, one. And Ahad in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ Ahad means unique. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal, in his names and attributes, he is unique. So Allah Azza wa Jal is unique in the way he creates. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in the way he bestows his mercy upon people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in the way he forgives. This is what Ahad means, that he is Ahadun fi sifatihi wa asma'ih, that he is unique in his names and attributes. No one of mankind can ever come near the quality or the attribute or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. He says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, that there is no Lord worthy of worship but him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know this word, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is where we want to spend our time proving this word, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. This is the most beautiful word and phrase mankind ever uttered. And further to this, this is the most beautiful word ever known to any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. The greatest word. Why? Because it carries the greatest truth on earth. And this is the greatest truth on earth, is that there is no Lord but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worthy of being worshipped. That's the greatest truth on earth. And it is because of this word, لا إله إلا هو, because of this word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything he created. It is because of this word that Allah Azza wa Jal created the paradise and he created the hellfire. It is because of this word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind and he created al-jinn. It is because of this word that Allah Azza wa Jal created everything that exists to test mankind. Are they going to be true to this word and sincere to this word and love this word? or they're going to neglect this word and turn away from this word. Subhanallah. You know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, let me just share with you a hadith to teach us the importance of this word. Now, perhaps many would say, La ilaha illallah. Yeah, this is a concept we know from when we were young. And yeah, why do we have to hear about it often? You know, let's move on to something else. Let's speak about something else. We always hear La ilaha illallah. We know what La ilaha illallah is and we know what it means. So let's move on. But listen to this hadith so that you can rethink this idea of that the word La ilaha illallah is some old information that we all know, even children as young as 3-4 years old know it. Let's move on. Listen to this hadith that proves how huge this word is and how much attention and focus and concentration and how much time a believer is supposed to put in studying this word and implementing it in his life. This hadith is the hadith, authentic hadith, that Musa alayhi salam, he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to him, Ya Rabb, allimni shay'an adhkuruka bih. He said, My Lord, teach me something that I can remember you with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to him, you see, look how Musa alayhi salam is thinking. When was the last time you asked someone to teach you something that reminds you of Allah azza wa jal? This is a question that is supposed to be frequent on our tongues. This is Musa alayhi salam, one of the best and most noble of prophets. He is asking Allah Azza wa Jal, Allimni, teach me, Ya Rab, teach me something that I can say and I will always remember you. Because if you don't say these words, you will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam is teaching us that continuously seek knowledge and ask about adhkar and about worships in how you can always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Musa alayhi salam asks this question, Ya Rabb, teach me something that I can always remember you and be aware of you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to Musa alayhi salam, and he said to him, Ya Musa, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said to him, say, La ilaha illallah, no Lord worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Musa alayhi salam, upon hearing this response, he said, Ya Rabb, وَكُلُّ عِبَادِكَ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا. That all your servants say La ilaha illallah. So he said, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ شَيْئًا تَخْتَصُّنِي بِهِ. I want something special for me. I want a dhikr that no one knows about, no one has ever thought about, and I want you, O Allah, to teach me this new dhikr that I can remember you with. So listen to what Allah says to Musa alayhi salam. He says to him, Ya Musa, لو أن السماوات السبع وعامروهن غيري والأراضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر. الله عز وجل, he said to Musa عليه السلام, يا موسى, he said to him, if the entire heavens, everything that's in the heavens, everything besides Allah, so that means if we got the entire heavens, everything above us, including the clouds and the skies and the angels and the arsh of Allah and the kursi, the footstool, the throne of Allah, we got all of that and we put it on one side of the scale, and then we put La ilaha illallah on the other side of the scale. Allah said to Musa alayhi salam that La ilaha illallah would outweigh everything that is on the other side of the scale, which is everything in the heavens and everything on earth. Basically everything that has been created on the scale. And this one word, La ilaha illallah, on the other side, this would outweigh everything Allah Azza wa Jal created. You know what you and I, my brothers and sisters, learn from this? We learn that even prophets, even the best and the most noble of prophets, need to be reminded of the greatness and the power of this word and the heaviness of this word. The word La ilaha illallah, subhanallah. In a moment there, where Musa alayhi salam just kind of said to Allah, teach me something new. We all say La ilaha illallah, teach me something new. Allah azza wa jal, he rediscovers the meaning of La ilaha illallah with Musa alayhi salam. And so this, it's teaching us that even prophets are in need of being reminded of how great this word is and how powerful it is. My brothers and sisters in Islam, keep in your mind and always be aware and understand that the greatest knowledge on earth and the greatest knowledge in the heavens is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge about Allah azza wa jal begins with the understanding of La ilaha illallah. That's the greatest knowledge. Why do I say it's the greatest knowledge? You know, there is a hadith. This is the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, a great companion. He was once in the masjid when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him and he said to him, Ya Abul Munzir. That was kind of the kunya of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. His name was Abul Munzir. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستيم يا أبا المنذر أتدري أي آية من كتاب الله معك أعظم؟ Ubay ibn Ka'b had memorized whatever had been revealed of the Quran at the time. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, do you know which of these ayat that you have memorized is the greatest and most powerful of them? Which one is it? That's like you're speaking about, he might have had about 4,000, 5,000 ayat in his chest. How is he going to just kind of think and assume which one it is? How is he going to guess? From 5,000 ayat, how is he going to guess? So he says, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam, only Allah and his messenger know. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him again, do you know which ayah is the greatest and most powerful ayah? So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Abu al-Munzir, which is Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. That ayatul kursi is the greatest ayah in the Quran. My brothers and sisters in Islam, how did Ubay know from 5,000 ayat that ayatul kursi was the greatest ayah? Even though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had told this to his companions. Why? Because the companions radiallahu anhum know that the greatest knowledge that could ever be and ever exist is the knowledge about Allah azza wa jal. And ayatul kursi is an ayah purely speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and nothing else. And it began by the word Allah. لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. The same ayah that is with us in قوله تعالى وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو. Therefore he knew that this was the greatest word. So when Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, ليهنك العلم يا أبا المنذر, he said to him, congratulations يا أبا المنذر on this knowledge that you have. My brothers and sisters in Islam, to each and every single one of us that knows لا إله إلا الله, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is congratulating you. He's congratulating you because you have the greatest knowledge that ever exists in the heavens and the earth. You understand this, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Yani, la ilaha illallah should be the first thing we learn. Children, that's the first thing you learn as a child before 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, before A, B, C, D, before mum and dad, before all of this, you learn la ilaha illallah. You know, don't you know of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That as soon as the baby is born, the sunnah is to make adhan in his ear. And the adhan begins with the word Allahu Akbar. The first word that the baby listens to and hears is the word Allahu Akbar. And the last thing in the adhan was what? La ilaha illallah. That's the last phrase in the adhan. And that's the thing that would ring in the ear of this child. Allah, Allahu Akbar. This is why we're saying La ilaha illallah is the greatest knowledge that ever exists on earth and in the heavens. My brothers and sisters in Islam, what does La ilaha illallah mean? What does it mean? A lot of people get this wrong. And this is why a lot of sects in Islam deviated from the truth, because they misunderstood what this phrase means. So how is it that the believer doesn't understand what this word is? Let me share, my brothers and sisters in Islam, with you what this word means. La ilaha illallah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, means that there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's its meaning. And it is wrong to say that La ilaha illallah means that there is no creator but Allah. This is how many sects in Islam deviated, because they did not get the understanding of La ilaha illallah correctly. They assumed that La ilaha illallah means there is no creator but Allah. Even though that's true that there is no creator but Allah, but that is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. If that was the case, then Iblis is a Muslim, because Iblis acknowledged that Allah created him. When Allah said to him, make sajda to Adam, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهِ, I'm better than Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ, you created me from the fire. That means Iblis acknowledges Allah is the creator. So if that's the case, then you will say that Iblis believes in La ilaha illallah, meaning he has to enter the paradise. So this is why it's a flawed understanding. La ilaha illallah does not mean that there is no creator but Allah. It means there is no Lord worthy of worship. You see, there are lords. People have claimed lordship for many things. People worship many things. So we say, La ilaha, there is no Lord worthy of worship. From among these many lords that people have claimed that these things are lords, none of them are worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the ayat go on, Allah azza wa jalla is going to prove to us why he deserves to be worshipped. Why is he one Lord worthy of worship? You listen to this and you'll understand. You'll have a good understanding as to why you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this word La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, it is the source of forgiveness. It's a reason for why a person is forgiven if he was to say it with full and sincerity and conviction and certainty and love of this word. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, as in the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, إِذَا عَمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَأَتْبِعْهَا حَسَنَةً تَمْحُهَا, that if you do a sin, any kind of sin, major or minor, he said to him, follow it up. Ya Abu Darda, follow up your bad sins with a good sin, with a good deed, with a hasana. Follow it up. Don't follow it up with, you know, with depression and sadness and sorrow and I don't know what to do. No, follow it up with this kind of negativity. Yes, regret the sin, but follow it up with positive action. Follow it up with a good deed. And it'll wipe it away. It'll wipe away the bad deed. So then Abu Darda, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أمن الحسنات لا إله إلا الله. It's from among the hasanat to say La ilaha illallah. Yani if I say La ilaha illallah after a bad deed, is that considered a good deed I did which will wipe away the bad deed no matter what this bad deed was? Listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Allahu Akbar, excitement in this hadith. He said to him, Hiya afdalul hasanat, that this is the best of the good deeds. Nothing is better than this word. Hiya afdalul hasanat. So surely after a sin, repeat La ilaha illallah, repeat it, until you feel that your heart has settled from its temptations and wickedness that it was engaged in a couple of moments ago. And why is it the greatest of hasanat? Think with me, my brothers and sisters in Islam, think of this. You know, from among all the good deeds that we know, the best of them are the obligatory acts. As-salat, fasting Ramadan, giving zakat 2.5% of your wealth, doing al-hajj. This is the best of all the deeds we know about because they are obligatory. And from among the obligatory deeds, which one is the best of them? Which one comes above? That is at-tawheed, accepting the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it was the best of the good deeds. At-tawheed, if you don't have tawheed, your salat is invalid. Just like if you don't have wudu, your salat is invalid. Or before this, if you don't have tawheed, you don't have acceptance of the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, your salat is invalid. All your worships are invalid. So this is why La ilaha illallah was the best of the good deeds. Can you feel this, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Allahu Akbar. What a blessed hadith of Abu Darda. Jazahullahu khayran for asking such a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we know that every time we fall in a sin and we think and we're confused, what's the best of the good deeds I can do? Rush to say La ilaha illallah and keep repeating it. This is like ice. It's like ice that is dropping on a very hot heart. You know the heart when a person falls victim to his temptation, to the evil whispering of a shaitan, he feels hot. The sins, they have heat to them. They have heat to them. And the most coolest thing that you can use on your heart to cool it down is the word La ilaha illallah. Continue to repeat this word until you feel satisfied and nurtured بذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى until you feel that the effect of the sin has been wiped away, that the temptation and the desire and the lust in your heart has been removed. بإذن الله, it's done with this word, لا إله إلا الله. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that the one who says Sayyidul Istighfar in the morning and in the afternoon, if he was to say it in the morning and he's certain about it and he dies before the afternoon, he enters the paradise. And if he said it in the afternoon and he is certain about it and he died before Fajr, he enters the paradise. Sayyidul Istighfar. You know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what is Sayyidul Istighfar? Why did it have this huge reward with it? Why? Because it began with the Tawheed of Allah. Read it with me. Allah, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant. There was the word la ilaha illallah in it. Therefore, it carried a great, great reward. That's why whoever says it in the morning and in the afternoon, he enters the paradise bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to us, من قال استغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه, three times Allah would forgive him for his sins even if he was to run away from the battlefield. Yani, why? This means that he will forgive him of all his sins, the minor and the major, because running away from the battlefield is a major sin. So if you were to say this dhikr three times, La ilaha illallah, if you say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, wa atubu ilayh. You know why? You know why it earns a person complete forgiveness? Because it had the word La ilaha illallah within it. Allahu Akbar. How great and how powerful and how huge is this knowledge of La ilaha illallah and its effect. My brothers and sisters in Islam, realize with me as well that the greatest day of the year, the absolute greatest day of the year, is the day of Arafah. And it is on that day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that the absolute best dhikr that could be said on that day, even if you just repeated this one thing the entire day, you're the best of the best on that day. Because you're doing the most best of things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us on the day of Arafah, which is a day of forgiveness and a day in which Allah azza wa jal frees so many people from the fire like he has never done in any other day of the year, even these days of Ramadan, in where a person can be freed from the fire. But the day of Arafah is a larger number of people being freed from the fire. He told us that the best thing to say on that day is لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. الله أكبر. My brothers and sisters in Islam, are you living with me? Are you living with this ayah? وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو. Are you living with this dhikr? This dhikr is not just found in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in the Quran. This is what Allah taught us, what Allah taught every prophet, what Allah taught all of his creation. خير ما قلت أنا والنبيون من قبل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the best thing I ever was said and the prophets before me ever said was لا إله إلا الله. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you notice that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم teaches us that anyone who reads آية الكرسي after the obligatory prayers, he enters the paradise. الله أكبر. Why? Because once again, it has the word Allah, La ilaha illa hu. It has this phrase of La ilaha illa Allah. And you know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, why do we read Ayat al-Kursi after the Salat? Why? Why do we read this ayah after every Salah that we prayed? After every obligatory prayer? You know why? Because it is to remind you and I that do you know who you were just standing in the hands of who? Before who? You were just standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Yani, it's as though when you finish the salat and you say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and then you make your istighfar, and then you read, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. You're reminding yourself, I was just standing in front of Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And you begin to regret the seconds you lost in salat. The moments of khushu'ah you lost in salat, you begin to regret it.
This is why we read Ayatul Kursi after the Salat, to remind us who we were standing in front of. Who was it? It was Allah. La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And to remind us to be sincere, that we were praying for Allah. La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And we read Surah Al-Ikhlas after that. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. To really, really remind ourselves that this is who we were praying before. This is who we were standing in front of. Allah, subhanallah. This is why we read Ayat al-Kursi after as-salat. As al-ulama, rahimahumullah, mentioned, you need to live this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. These are not just adhkar random that we're saying during the day and the night after the salat, before this, before that, and just move on, carry on like nothing happened. How do you connect to your deen when you don't understand the meanings of what you're saying? And you don't understand why you're saying them? This is why, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I choose to come here and share this with you, so that we live our Islam. We actually live it. It just doesn't become an image that we're sticking on the walls, but actually becomes something engraved in our hearts. This is what we want to do as Muslims. We want to share our deen so that we know who Allah Azza wa Jal is, so that we can genuinely feel the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and what He legislated and prescribed for us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about this word, we're still explaining the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, wa ilahukum ilahun wahidun la ilaha illa hu. We're still explaining this word. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. That anyone who ends his life with the words لا إله إلا الله, he enters the paradise. Allahu Akbar. That's the first thing you heard when you were born, when the muadhin made adhan in your ear and he said the last phrase لا إله إلا الله. You started your life with it. Now just carry on. Carry on with this word until the last moment of your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised, the one who says it before he dies, he enters the paradise. Al-Qurtubi, an imam in tafsir, he said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالْقَلْبِ لَلِّسَانِ. What is meant by this hadith is the one who said it from his heart sincerely, not with his tongue. If you said it with your tongue, alhamdulillah. But if you didn't have the chance to say La ilaha illallah with your tongue as you die, and make that the last word in your life, it doesn't matter. If you had it in your heart, and your heart testified to it, and you said it with certainty in this worldly life, and you implemented it, and you worked hard towards worshipping one Lord who's worthy of worship, bi-idhnillah, you're included in this hadith, and such a person enters the paradise. Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said, and what proves this, that if a person was to say, La ilah, and died, so long as he had believed in the entire statement, he still enters the paradise. And if you said La ilaha, which means there is no Lord, and you died, does that mean that a person died upon disbelief? No, it's not understood in that manner. It means, so long as a person had believed in his heart in this word, then it doesn't matter whether he said the word at his death with his tongue, or he said half the word or a quarter of the word, doesn't matter. He enters the paradise bi-idhnillah, because he lived a life of La ilaha illallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let's move on. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَاهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. He concludes this ayah by saying, الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah, Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters in Islam. What is this? What's this beauty of this Qur'an? What is the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jalla's word? Wallahi, every single word you read, you want to laugh. You don't know what to do because of the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jalla's words and how He keeps us connected with Him and He keeps us in hope of Him. Focus. Ponder with me, my brothers and sisters. Analyze this. The ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, your Lord. You see this? It carries so much love and so much compassion that Allah is telling us, I am your Lord, people. Wa ilahukum. I am your Lord. This already puts honor in us that we are, Allah didn't say, and Allah is one Lord. That might sound foreign to some. He said, Allah, your Lord, you people, you, your Lord. You know how someone would come to you and say, look, I went and bought gold just for you. This is for you. You see this word? It's different if someone was to say, here, I got gold, take it. You know, there's a difference between that and saying, I bought gold just for you. That's what's happening. وَإِلَاهُكُمْ I am your Lord. Allahu Akbar. So the ayah began with love. It began with mercy. It began with gentleness and compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, this is all we are used to from Allah Azza wa Jal. We have only seen gentleness from Allah Azza wa Jal. We have only seen compassion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That's all. Wallahi, that's all we see in the Quran. My brothers and sisters, wallahi, even the most toughest of ayat in the Quran, the ayat of the punishment, the ayat of what happens in the hellfire, the toughest ayat in the Quran are Allah Azza wa Jal's gentleness upon us. That He's telling us, listen, if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to end up here. Allahu Akbar. He's telling us subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't leave it as a secret to the end. You know, what kind of government around the world does this? Now, if you do any mistake, let's say you genuinely didn't know about it. The courts don't consider whether you're ignorant of the law or not. They don't care. They don't care. If you did something wrong and you genuinely didn't know it's against the law, they'll throw a fine at you. They will throw a fine at you. You'll perhaps end up in prison for something you didn't know. What is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Look at the gentleness. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's telling us. He doesn't hold us to account for that which we are ignorant about. Rather, He tells us of the punishments and of the warnings in the Quran, time after time after time. For what? Because He's merciful upon us. That's Allah's compassion upon us. That He tells us, my servants, easy. Stay away from the haram. Keep away from this. Don't come near this. How many times would Allah Azza wa Jal send prophet after prophet after prophet to people that rejected Allah Azza wa Jal? And He would tell these prophets, go and deliver the message in the best of manners. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to Musa, to go to Fir'aun, the biggest tyrant on earth, the one who claimed lordship for himself and said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Look at Allah's compassion with him. He sends him, not any ordinary man, He sends him Musa, the greatest of men to walk the face of the earth at the time. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal's compassion with His servants. He sends him Musa alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And tells him, قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ Speak to him softly. Speak to him kindly. Because you know, Musa alayhi salam is pretty tense with Fir'aun. This is Fir'aun. If Fir'aun hurt Musa alayhi salam's mother, her feelings when she had to throw Musa in a basket in the ocean, He's caused a lot of harm to Musa's people, Bani Israel. He's killed the babies every second year. He's done a lot of damage. So you can imagine how frustrated Musa would be with Fir'aun. Yet Allah would say to him, there's nothing greater than the message of La ilaha illallah. Go and deliver it with all compassion and gentleness. Allahu Akbar. That's Allah's compassion with the most tyrant of people on this earth. But when people don't take heed, when people choose to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the warning has come to them time after time after time, they invited Allah's punishment upon themselves. There is no one to blame but themselves. This is why Fir'aun was destroyed at the end. How much chances did Allah Azza wa Jal give him? Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ We did not oppress them. وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ They wrong themselves. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when you do wrong, blame yourself. Do not blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. How many chances, chance after chance after chance, Allah Azza wa Jal gave us? How many prophets did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to mankind? How many messages did Allah Azza wa Jal send to mankind? Allah Azza wa Jal could have just revealed to us one verse and say, go figure out the way yourself. However, Allah Azza wa Jal clarified each and every single matter for us. Even when we go to the bathroom, how do we clean ourselves? Even that Allah described to us so that you do not hold any excuse on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Everything Allah Azza wa Jal explained to us. So this is it, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid. Your Lord is one Lord. Subhanallah, subhanallah. My brothers, wa ilahukum ilahun wahid. La ilaha illa hu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He began the ayah by saying, I'm your Lord. That's His gentleness and care for us. And He ended the ayah with the most compassionate of His names, and that is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? You know why? Ponder and focus with me. When Allah said, La ilaha illa hu, that there is no Lord worthy of worship but Him, that it implies authority. It implies Allah's authority and command over all things. That He is only one Lord. Better worship Him and no one else. It's kind of, it has that heavy tone in it, right? And it implies authority. And you know, people in this life, if they're given authority or some authority, so many people are quick to abuse authority. People, when they're given authority on this earth or any kind of control, they abuse it. Majority of people abuse it. This is how oppression ends up happening and corruption ends up happening, right? Whether we're speaking about people in the family, in the society, in communities, whatever it is. Naturally, when people have authority, they abuse it and they rebel and they use it as power to punish the people. Subhanallah. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said to us, La ilaha illa hu, that He is the Lord worthy of worship, that Allahu Akbar, that's absolute authority of Allah. Now look at the case of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says to us, Huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Even though He has all this power and all this authority and all this command, with all of this, He will not harm His servants. He said, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Subhanallah. He said, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That He is the most compassionate, the most merciful, the most kind, the most gentle. This is Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu Akbar. You live with the ayat, my brothers. Live with the ayat, my brothers and sisters in Islam. This ayah is only one line. One line, Allahu Akbar. And I feel like we can talk about this forever and ever. La ilaha illa hu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My brothers and sisters in Islam, focus with me. I'm going to give you an example. I want you to picture this scene that I'm about to narrate to you. Picture this scene so that you can understand the relationship between Allah's high authority and His mercy. Authority, this kind of sounds something so impossible to be achieved in this worldly life. Someone's got a lot of authority and He's extremely merciful. Where do we hear about this? Listen to Allah Azza wa Jalla's case so you can understand how Allah's authority is directly connected with His mercy. Listen to this. I want you first to think about where you are located now around the world and where you are in your room. Now, what is your significance compared to the room you're in? Maybe it has some significance. You're in this room. Anyone who comes in the room would recognize who you are. Okay, let me tell you this. What is your room? What significance does your room have with the rest of your house? Maybe some significance. What significance does your house have with your suburb that you live in? No significance at all. What does your suburb that you live in currently right now, what significance does it have compared to the country that you live in? Allahu Akbar, nothing at all. Nothing. What significance does your country have compared to the entire earth? Nothing. What significance does the earth have in comparison to the entire universe? Nothing. What significance does the entire universe have when it's compared to the seven heavens? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that all of the seven heavens in comparison, the arsh, what significance do the seven heavens in comparison to the arsh have? Nothing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, in comparison to the seven heavens, are just like a ring that has been thrown in the desert. SubhanAllah, can you think of that? Can you imagine? Before that, there is the footstool of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the footstool of Allah in comparison with His arsh is like a ring thrown in the desert. Nothing, yani. And above the arsh is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Allahu Akbar. Can you think of this scene? Now go back to the first thing I told you, yourself in your room. What is your significance compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's established above His throne? Nothing, nothing. Now listen to this, keep going with me. That if anything implies absolute authority, we are in Allah's control. We are nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now listen to this. Allah azza wa jal, when he created his throne, he wrote a book and he placed it on top of the throne. لما قضى الله الخلق, when Allah created everything, كتب كتابا فهو عنده. He wrote something and he put it on top of the arsh. You know what he wrote? Wallahi, if you were to just think of this, Allah's absolute authority over each and every single thing. You know, like if an ant, Wallah, I'm not giving an example between a human and Allah, but imagine an ant was to look up at a human being. How scared is it and how terrified it is? This giant is standing and this little ant like this, it's scared it might be crushed. Like in the case in the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, where the ant went and told the other ants, run in your dwellings, hurry up, run, hide. Sulaiman, this giant and his army are going to come and crush you. Imagine the greatness of Allah azza wa jal compared to the creation. You know what Allah azza wa jal wrote on this arsh? You and I would have assumed, anyone who rejects me or rejects my command or my authority, I will rip him in half. You'd assume that? You'd assume this? You know, you'd assume powerful, strong words. Instead, you know what Allah wrote on the arsh with this incredible might and power of Allah azza wa jal? He wrote, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. He wrote, my mercy has overtaken my anger. Allahu Akbar. Absolute authority. And in that position, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that my mercy supersedes my anger. This is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about himself established on the throne in seven places of the Quran, what does he say? He says, Ar-Rahman ala al-arshi istawa. From 99 names, he used the name Ar-Rahman. He did not say Al-Jabbar ala al-arshi istawa. You know, he didn't say Al-Azim ala al-arshi istawa. He didn't say the great. He's established upon his throne. He chose the word Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Is established on his throne. Allahu Akbar. He didn't even say Allahu ala al-arshi istawa, because the name Allah, it implies authority and it implies command and control and ownership. Lakin the word Ar-Rahman implies the mercy, the compassion, the gentleness, the comfort of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So this is the ayah. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid, la ilaha illa hu. When you read La ilaha illa hu, it's like you're terrified from the authority of Allah Azza wa Jalla and whatever He wants to do to His creation, no matter when He will do it. Then He calms us all down and He says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That yes, even though He is one Lord worthy of worship and absolute controls everything, yet He's still merciful to His creation. My brothers and sisters in Islam, La ilaha illa hu Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The ayah after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, now He is going to prove to us why He is one Lord worthy of worship. This is the biggest question. The biggest question to mankind. Why is Allah one Lord worthy of worship? You know, so many people have rejected the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either from their ignorance or they don't accept Allah Azza wa Jal being a Lord worthy of worship. I mean, who is He? Who's Allah? I didn't even see Him yet. Why should I worship Him? You know? Or the excuse is, sorry brother, sorry, my forefathers and our ancestors were upon one religion and we follow that and we're not interested in anything new. Thank you very much. Move on. People don't accept La ilaha illallah. So now, in half a page, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to explain to us why He is one Lord worthy of all worship. Listen to this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth. In other words, the greatest proof that Allah Azza wa Jal is one Lord worthy of worship is the fact that He is the Creator. That's it. That's the simple answer. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator and created all things, and no one can compare to creating like what Allah Azza wa Jal created. No one has the ability to create, is enough to tell you and I that Allah Azza wa Jal is one Lord worthy of worship. Allahu Akbar. The fact that He created everything around you is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everything around you is created. The first name we were introduced about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was his name Al-Khaliq, the creator. When Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the beginning of the Quran when it first came down, Iqra bismi rabbika, that was the first name, rabbika, alladhi wa khalaq. That's the first name mankind knew about Allah Azza wa Jal. Khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. That's the first name we know about Allah, that He created. Wallahi, anyone with a sensible mind, any person that is sane and opens his heart and his mind, just look at the creation, and it is enough to bring you to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, in the creation of the heaven and the earth, there is proof that Allah is one. How? You know, if you look at the heavens, what's the miraculous sign in the heaven? Allah created the heavens, the skies. What's miraculous about that? Don't you see it? Seven heavens above us like a canopy, a roof above our heads, and there is no pillar to hold them. Who can do that? Who can create something, even if it was small, and put something on top of something without having a pillar? You know, like if I got this little remote and tried to put something under it, try to make this a roof for whatever you make without putting a pillar. You can't do it, even if it was a small sized thing. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His absolute uniqueness, He created the skies above us بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, with no pillars. Go ahead, where's the pillars? Can you see? Can you see? If such a creation exists, that means Allah Azza wa Jal must have created it. Therefore, He deserves to be worshipped. Therefore, we come to the conclusion of لا إله إلا الله. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and even in the creation of the earth, there is a great sign and a miraculous sign in this to prove that Allah Azza wa Jal is one worthy of worship. And that is the fact that the earth, what's miraculous about the earth? Don't you see? Don't you see? Open your eyes next time you go outside and look at the earth and see. Go out to your garden. It is one soil. And you put many seeds in one soil. Apple seed, mango seed, tomato seed, cucumber seed, one soil, and then you give it one water, and it gives you many, many different kinds of vegetation. Multiple vegetation comes out. Allahu Akbar, how can that be? How can that be when the source is one, when the soil is one, and the water is one? What should come out should be all the same. Lakin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alone commands the earth, and it makes this seed grow into a tomato tree, or this to grow into an apple tree, or this to grow into a lemon tree. Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah is the biggest proof of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and the alternation of the day and the night. You know, just the fact that the night comes, and then the night goes, and the day comes, there is a sign in this, a miraculous sign that proves Allah is one. Because the night, how did the night come? And where did the darkness come from? And how did the light come? Where did the brightness come from? And how does it go? And how does the darkness all of a sudden go and the brightness comes? Subhanallah, not only that, the length of the day differs every single day. You know, the length of the night differs every single night. There's summer, the summer nights, you know, are shorter nights. The winter nights are longer nights. How does this happen? Allah created all this. Therefore, proving the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ, and there is also a sign in the ship that sails in the ocean. There is a sign in that to prove one Lord worthy of worship. You know that the ship, who's the first, Aslan, the ship, who's the first person who made a ship? It was Nuh alayhi salam, under direction and command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed wahi to Nuh alayhi salam to build the first ship that ever mankind ever knew. And it was from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it benefits humanity, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, bima yanfa'u an-nas. So every time you're on a ship, you recognize the greatness of Allah. You recognize the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who created for the water this floating property of it? Who? You know, subhanallah. Yeah, we can't, you know, fly in the air, like how we, you can say, kind of fly in the ocean or float in the ocean. Allah Azza wa Jal gave it that property. Tons and tons, you know, in the form of a cruise, a ship, is put on the ocean and it's afloat and it moves and it sails. Allahu Akbar. Who gave it that ability? None but Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal in this ayah, he's proving why he is one worthy of being worshipped. Because the main thing is that he was the creator, and no one has created like Allah Azza wa Jal's creation. والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء. And what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed from the sky of water, even that is a sign. Who created the cloud? Who created the wind to bring this cloud together? Who created the water, then the water droplets? Who brought them down in the same precise, accurate manner it comes down? Allahu Akbar. If it came down like a bucket, it'll flood the people, it'll kill the people. And if nothing came down at all, people will die as well from famine and thirst. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. He sends down in precise and accurate amount of water that comes down on the sky. Who created that? Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal, none but Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this once again proves that Allah Azza wa Jal is one Lord worthy of worship. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. Another thing He created was that He scattered onto this earth walking creatures. Look at the walking creatures of Allah. No two people look alike. Allahu Akbar. How's that the case? Allah created everyone unique. You know, some creation walks with two legs, like the human beings. Some creation walks on four legs, like certain animals. Some walk and slide on their stomach, like the snake. Allah Azza wa Jalla has many of His creation. Allah roam this earth. This is all from the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some swim in the ocean, some fly in the air. Who created all of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you recognize this, you know that la ilaha illa hu, there is no Lord worthy of worship but Him. Allah Azza wa Jal, then He continues to say, وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, and the shifting of the wind. Have you ever recognized the wind? Sometimes it's blowing east, then it blows west, then north, then you have like a southerly breeze. Where's all this from? This is not random. Allah Azza wa Jal created the wind and He directs the wind. Look how powerful these ayat are. Look how powerful these miraculous signs are. And one thing that's common among them all is that Allah Himself created them. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, recognize this. When Allah creates, He creates and nothing had existed before, which makes it even more difficult in our understanding, you know? How can you create something without it existing? Only Allah can do that. He creates something without it existing initially. Each and every single thing that you and I make, we need some material. If we get material together, we can put it together and make something. But when Allah creates, He creates with absolutely nothing that begins the process. He says, kun, and it becomes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, He creates the best from the very beginning. You know that? When Allah Azza wa Jal, يعني, when He created light, He created the best from the very beginning, and that was the sun. And mankind, every time we create or we make, we manufacture something, every few years it's updated, a new version is released. You know, 30 years ago, how did cars look like to how cars look today? This is mankind, their ability is always flawed. You know, iPhone, today we got an iPhone, tomorrow a new one comes out, a year later another one comes out. Because that's our manufacture. It's not created from the best at the very first moment. We can't do that. You know, subhanAllah. We build things in stages. Someone builds a phone today, 10 years later, someone else is going to come and reinvent it in a different manner. But when Allah Azza wa Jal creates, He creates the very best from the very beginning. You know, when Allah created the human being, is there any updates? Do we ever have to put in like a machine to update our heart? You know, update the firmware in the heart? Or do we ever have to put something in our kidneys to do some other business with it? Nothing. When Allah created the heart, He created the best from day one. When He created the nerves, He created them best from day one. When He created the cells, He created them best from day one. Allahu Akbar. And when Allah Azza wa Jal created this virus, this coronavirus, He created it best from day one. That's why if you've seen those videos about how the cell infects, how the virus infects a person, it goes inside, and then they say that there are keys around the virus, and these keys lock to the cell of the human as it enters, and it goes in and it does its work. And people are still giving to the conspiracy theories that it was created in a lab. It was created by Allah. Look how perfect it was created. That as soon as it enters the body, it knows what to do. It knows its work. Allahu Akbar. This is by the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. This is the uniqueness. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. He perfected the creation of everything He created. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and also we find the case that if you ponder over the creation of Allah, it is enough to inject you with certainty in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is one worthy of worship. Look at Ibrahim's case. Ibrahim, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to him, وَكَذَلِكَ, he says about him, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. That Allah Azza wa Jal showed Ibrahim alayhi salam the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He showed him everything in the heavens. Some opinions narrate that Ibrahim alayhi salam from earth, he was given the ability to see the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he saw, when he observed the creation of Allah, when he saw everything that Allah created, what did it result in? وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. He became from among those who had certain conviction and certainty in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is one Lord worthy of worship. No one else shall be worshipped. Allahu Akbar. This is why pondering over the creation of Allah and what Allah created is the quickest route to acceptance of one Lord, to the acceptance of one Ilah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we don't have to see Allah Azza wa Jal to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. We don't. We just have to see the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's enough. I give you an example with current times and what happened. I read something beautiful and it mentioned this. It said, you know how everyone around the world is affected by this coronavirus, and everyone believes that it exists. What did you see it? To believe it exists? Did you see the virus with your own naked eye to believe it exists? But then why do the atheists, and why do disbelievers, and why does everyone believe that the virus exists with absolute conviction, even though they never saw it? I tell you why. Because they saw its signs, they saw its consequences, they saw its effects. You know, even now you put on Google just signs of coronavirus, it'll quickly take you to the symptoms and what symptoms are. And you know, we've seen people go into the hospital, people got sick, people died, people lived, people recovered, lockdown, all of this. No one even saw the virus with his own eye, naked eye. Maybe through the telescope or the microscope, but with your eye, did anyone see it? So why isn't the same thing in Allah Azza wa Jal said? The fact that we cannot see Allah, well, can't you see the effect of Allah Azza wa Jal around you? Can't you see the signs of Allah around you? Can't you see? Open your eyes. Can't you see the body and how it works and how it functions? And you want to say that this is natural? It came from its own accord. This is the greatest lie mankind ever recognized and knew. This is the greatest lie to say that there is no Lord worthy of worship. Allahu Akbar. And along that is to worship someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the greatest lie. The greatest truth is La ilaha illallah. And the greatest lie ever known to mankind was the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a shirk ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحان الله والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. And in that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and in that ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and even in the creation of the clouds and the fact that they are suspended between the earth and the sky is also a reason for why we accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the uniqueness of how it's created. The clouds, as-sahab al-musakhar, the clouds, who created the cloud? And this entire water cycle and process, who? The cloud, it gathers, and then it scatters, and then it's gone, and then it forms again. Who created that? Not nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Allah azza wa jal, he concludes the ayah by saying, in all of this, there are ayat, there are many signs, but people that will benefit from these signs are people, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, people that are awake in their brains, and in their minds, and in their intelligence, and, you know, they're willing to sit down and ponder over the creation of Allah to finally reach the conclusion that there is one Lord. My brothers and sisters in Islam, now, this is the chronological order of what's happening. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to us, لا إله إلا هو, there is no Lord worthy of worship except Him. Then He proved to us why He is worthy of all worship. He said that He is the Creator. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator, that is the biggest proof for why He is one Lord. That's the biggest proof for why He is one Lord. Okay. Now, when you acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you acknowledge He is the Creator of all things, what follows after that? Immediately, with no question, you follow His commands, you take by His commands. This is how eventually, logically, we reach the fact that you and I worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He told us that He is one Lord. He proved how He is one Lord, the fact that He created everything alone, without anyone, and He created everything from the fact that it didn't even exist. He created it from nothing. When we know now He's the Creator, by looking at everything around us, now He has command over you. Now you recognize He has command over you. So you're supposed to adhere to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful logic in these ayat. And you might say, you know, why does He have command over us? Simply because He created us, you know, and He owns us. You know, if you own something, you own something. If, let's say, I own this, and I command the fan to turn on by pressing this button. This is an on button. I command the fan to turn on by pressing the button, right? I expect it to turn on. Now, if it doesn't, let's say there's a malfunction, it's not working. Human beings are very quick to react in a negative way. You might grab this remote and throw it across the wall. It's not working, it's not obeying your command. Allahu Akbar, you get the point? You see how merciful Allah Azza wa Jalla is upon us? He owns us, and He commands us, and He expects mankind to obey His commandment. And then when we disobey Allah's command, or we don't obey Him, don't we deserve Allah's punishment? Immediately, right then and there. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, also from His names, is Al-Halim, Al-Sabur, the most patient. He's patient with us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He delays us. Perhaps another time He might wake up to the commandments of Allah. Maybe He'll repent and come back to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if He doesn't, and He dies upon His disbelief, then the people that enter the hellfire, they don't blame anyone but themselves. They actually acknowledge their sins. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They will acknowledge their sins, and they know that they deserve the hellfire. Different to this worldly life, when people are in prison today, who in prison now would say, yes, I'm here for a crime I did? No one. No one. 100% of prisoners say, oh, I don't know why I'm here for. I don't know. They oppressed me. I don't know why I'm here for. That's people's attitude in prison. But the hellfire, when people end up there, they say, we deserve to be here. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. You see the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal, that no one will enter the hellfire except that he knows for what reason he entered. And the reason is very simple. Because in this worldly life, he rejected the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he rejected the most important of them, which is what we've been discussing, at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm about to conclude with you, but if you look at the next ayah, Allah told us He's one Lord worthy of worship. Then He proved it with the fact that He told us He's the Creator and how many things He created. You know what the conclusion was? The conclusion was that we expected, now people know who Allah is, they should worship Allah. You know what Allah said in the next ayah? Allahu Akbar. The upsetting state of mankind, the upsetting condition of mankind, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. يحبونهم كحب الله. Look at the result. Look at the disbelief and ingratitude of people. Allah says, and from mankind are people who still worship lords beside Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar on this kufr that people carry in their hearts. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا Idols. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ And they love their idols. Look at the calamity. وَيُحِبُّكَ حُبِّ اللَّهِ They love their idols in the same manner the believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ But those who truly believe and recognize the oneness of Allah, the fact that they observe and recognize that He is the Creator alone, therefore He deserves to be worthy of all worship. What's their conclusion in their heart? أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the disbelievers love for their idols. That's the love that the believers have for Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the simple question is, let me ask you this question and just think about it and answer it honestly and sincerely. Can you say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you say it? Allah azza wa jalla is saying that the believer, أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ They love Allah Azza wa Jal more than the disbelievers love their own idols and who they worship. Do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is your heart filled with the love of Allah Azza wa Jal? Because if it's not, you have yet to experience the proper sweetness of Iman and Islam. Work towards it, my brothers and sisters in Islam. It is only something Allah Azza wa Jal gives those who are sincere among us. Those who are longing in their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla and just can't wait to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam, he was given in his heart the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. You know, Musa alayhi salam, he loved Allah so much to the point when he reached the mountain. You know what he asked Allah? He said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, let me see you. Have you ever reached that question in your mind? Has your love of Allah ever got you to the point where you said, Oh Allah, I want to see you. Oh Allah, I want to see you. And then that as a believer, you know Allah cannot be seen in this worldly life. So you rush to make dua and you say, Allahumma, يعني, لا, يعني, نسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك. We ask you that you give us the sweetness and the delight and the satisfaction that we see your face on the day of judgment. Has your love of Allah Azza wa Jal got you to that state in where you ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala not to deprive you of seeing His face subhanahu wa ta'ala in the paradise? All of this entire lesson was just for this conclusion, my brothers and sisters in Islam, nothing much. That's it. That's all it was. That was the conclusion. All of this is just helping us, aiding us to love of Allah Azza wa Jal, to love Allah the way He deserves to be loved. And to honor Allah Azza wa Jal the way He deserves to be honored. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, if we were just honest and sincere and certain with this one word, La ilaha illallah, and we pondered over it, and we dissected it, and we said it hundreds and thousands of times during the day with a heart that is alive. Be careful, don't disconnect your heart from your tongue. With a tongue and a heart that is alive. Allahu Akbar, what you're going to see in your life. Allahu Akbar, what kind of generosity and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal you're going to experience in your life. Wallahi, you're going to experience such happiness that you will not want to share it with anyone. You just want to keep it private between you and Allah. And you would want to recognize then the favors of Allah. Then you will realize the word Alhamdulillah coming out from your heart, thanking Allah for the goodness that He's going to bestow upon you in your life. If you were to just cling onto the word La ilaha illallah in its proper form and understand it and be convinced about it. And there's so much to attach us to this word. So much teachings in the Quran and in the Sunnah to attach us to the word La ilaha illallah. And this is why I shared with you the ayah after this, Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid, which was Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard. Because the greatest thing that's going to instill La ilaha illallah in your heart is the fact Allah is the creator. That's it. Just go out alone and observe Allah's creation, and you'll get to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when you recognize He's the one who created everything, you will come to the conclusion that He has the command of everything. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Isn't it to Him that the creation belong and the command belongs? You know, a lot of people, maybe they can accept that Allah is the creator, but they don't accept the second half, which is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people accept that Allah is a creator? You have people, yes, God created this, God created that. But then, all right, if you believe Allah is the creator, that should lead to the fact that you now believe He has command over all things He created. That's only something natural and logic. You know, Iblis, he was cursed, yeah? When he rejected the sajda, he was cursed. You know why? Because Iblis, from that equation, he accepted half of it. He believed Allah is the creator. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقِ. He said, Allah, أَنْتَ خَلَقْتَنِي. You created me. But he didn't accept the command, which is the amr. When Allah said to him, make the sajda, he refused. As a result, he got destroyed. He got cursed until the last day. You can imagine that. Someone that roams the earth and he's cursed. What meaning does life have to such a person? That's walking around and he's cursed because he's rejected Allah's command. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, listen to this lesson again. Summarize what you know of it, of points, what you learn. Share it with others. You know, it's a good idea as well in the comment section now after the lesson. Share what you learn so other people, so your brothers and sisters from around the world can also see these comments. Maybe someone benefits. Maybe someone draws nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. We don't know. That's all in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not upon us to change the hearts of people, but upon us is to deliver the message of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Himself guides who He wants. You know, there are prophets on the Day of Judgment that come and they have absolutely no followers. None whatsoever. Simple. Their job wasn't to put the heart and the message and shove it into people's throats and minds. We don't do that. We deliver the message with compassion, with gentleness, with peace. And we say, this is Allah's message for you, my people, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Take it. Worshipping Allah, la ilaha illallah, there's logic in it. Wallahi, there's logic. Every single person who rejected Allah Azza wa Jal and remained upon his disbelief has no logical explanation to it. He has no logical explanation. Like the Quran gives us a good scenario and an example of this. Let me conclude the lesson with this. You know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the mission of every prophet and messenger was to deliver La ilaha illallah to his people. That was the mission. You know, when these prophets went to deliver this message and told the people, اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره, like Nuh and Hud and Salih and Lut and Shu'aib, open up Surah Al-A'raf. Each prophet had the same word to his people. Worship Allah. There's no Lord worthy of worship but Him. You have no Lord other than Him. That's how the prophet would say. And then the prophet would say, Allah is the creator. He created the heavens. He created the trees. He created this. He provides us with... The prophet would give logical explanation. You know, the rejectors, the disbelievers, you know how they would respond? They wouldn't say, listen, prophet, come sit with us. Let us tell you. You've got it all wrong. Our idols, they also create. They also provide for us. They also do this. No, they don't do that. Those that reject Allah Azza wa Jal don't have logical explanation. They wouldn't sit with the Prophet and speak to him nicely and gently and convince him in a logical manner why their idols deserve to be worshipped. They wouldn't do that. Rather, they would resort to arguments, mockery, insult, cursing, slandering, mocking, at times punishing, killing their prophets. They're frustrated from the truth and they have no logical explanation to their religion, to their false, corrupt religion and their idols that they worship. Subhanallah. This is why, this is why these rejectors, they would say to the prophets, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَا. You're the stupid one among us. You're a fool. This is what the people of Hud said to their prophet. This is what Ad said to their prophet Hud. They said, "Inna lanaraka fi safaha." Ah, no, no, no. Don't give us this message of there's one Lord worthy of worship. You're a fool. Sit down with me and explain to me logically how these idols are lords besides Allah. Because there is no explanation. Had there been a logical explanation, they would have sat down and explained it. But there isn't. SubhanAllah. And look at the prophets, how patient they are. He responded to them by saying, "Laysa bi safaha." I'm not a fool. Allahu Akbar. How many of us, if we were caught in a situation like this, we're quick to insult back, you know? We're quick to insult. I'm the fool, that you're the fool. You're the stupid, you're this, you're that, and get out of here. How many of us would do that? And what we think, we're doing it for Allah's sake. Yeah, we're doing it for Allah's sake. You know, if someone insults us, yeah, let's insult him back. The prophets didn't do that. Look at what Hud alayhi salam responds. He just said to them, "Laysa bi safaha." I'm not a fool. You called me a fool. I'm not a fool. He didn't even say, rather, you're the foolish ones. Even though they are foolish in what they're doing. But he doesn't say that. Because prophets are trained by Allah. They have manners taught to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're supposed to follow in their example. And then the prophet will get back onto the point. And he says to him, "Walakinni rasulun min rabbil alameen." I'm just a messenger from your Lord, from the Lord of the worlds. "Uballighukum risalati rabbi." I am delivering the message of Allah. I'm delivering the message of my Lord to you people. "وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ." And I just want to be a clear and a sincere advisor to you. Nothing much. You don't want the message. You can do what you want with it. So, يعني, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us a deep understanding of His ayat. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings that we have done towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us sincere and honest in our adherence to the words La ilaha illallah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to nourish our hearts and our souls with His love subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with no other love besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala also that He allow us to worship Him and to love Him the way He deserves from us, and that He accept all our deeds and all our dua in this blessed month. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the month of Ramadan, the month to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal, the month to connect with the dhikr La ilaha illallah. Don't forget to say it 100 times in the day. You can say some in the morning and some in the afternoon, but say it at least 100 times. Say it at least 100 times. Don't neglect this dhikr. Don't neglect this dhikr. This is how clear I give you this message. Nothing more to add. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.